Let's get it started right now with our Conservation Matters segment sponsored by Time Warner Cable. If you in need for looking at getting some new telephone service and long distance, you might want to check out Time Warner Cable. They got some very competitive things for you to consider. And on the phone with me right now, I have Miss Toni Real. Toni, how are you?
I'm great, Frank. Thanks for having me today.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. You are the Southeastern Coastal Organizer for the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy and a recent newlywed.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. How many months?
About a month and a half now.
Okay. Well, good for you. Excellent.
You.
All right. Now, Toni, I got an email from you today saying that today is World Ocean Day.
Yes, it is.
So tell me about that. When did World Ocean Day start?
This year actually is the first official World Oceans Day. The United Nations declared officially that June 8th of every year, beginning this year, will be World Oceans Day. It has been an idea floating around since 1992. It was proposed at the Earth Summit in Brazil, but the UN decided to make this year the first official year.
Okay, World Oceans, plural, Day.
Mm-hmm. That's
okay.
Right.
So what are we supposed to do on World Oceans Day? Why the designation?
Sure. Well, the United Nations felt that there should be a day where the ocean could be highlighted, or the ways in which the ocean contribute to society can be highlighted, as well as an opportunity to recognize the challenges that we face with the health and vitality of our oceans.
Okay,
so some people today around the world are participating in beach cleanups, art contests. I've heard of sustainable seafood events. And we here at Southern Alliance for Clean Energy are taking this opportunity to encourage people to contact their elected officials to voice their concerns about something I'd like to talk to you about here in a minute called ocean acidification and the need for strong climate and energy legislation that will be necessary to save our oceans and all that depend on it.
Now, you said this, some folk are having a seafood event?
Yes, I've heard of some place in Savannah, I believe, today they are having a sustainable seafood event. And actually, there are a lot of such events in Charleston, too. There's a sustainable seafood initiative here in Charleston. A lot of restaurants participate in that. And every year, they have an event to benefit the aquarium.
Toni, what would be unsustainable seafood?
Well, this group, the Seafood Sustainability Institute, I think that's what they're called anyway, they put out these little cards you could put in your wallet that tells you what sort of seafood you should and should not eat. You know, local seafood is, of course, the best, but there are some fish, and I'm not a fisheries expert, but there are some fish that we should not be eating because they are overfished.
Okay. All right, I understand now. Of course, anything you talk about having a seafood event, I imagine that's eating seafood, maybe.
Yes.
So,
and actually, in Charleston, it's probably true in other places. If you go to a restaurant, usually they have a little logo on their door that'll say that they're part of this sustainable seafood initiative.
Right.
And sometimes that information's on the menu.
Very good. All right, Toni, now you wanted to talk about one of the threats to our oceans, and that's acidification.
That's right. It's something called ocean acidification, and how that works is carbon dioxide naturally dissolves in seawater, and the ocean has a way of regulating the pH of itself. And what is a cause for concern here is that between one-half and one-third of all the carbon dioxide that comes from the releasing of fossil fuels into our atmosphere is absorbed by the oceans, and it has increased over 30% since the start of the Industrial Revolution. And when that carbon dioxide mixes or dissolves in seawater, there's a natural chemical reaction that takes place that makes the surface water slightly acidic. The problem with this is that there are numerous animals in the ocean that rely on and grow in certain pH levels, certain temperature, certain levels of light. And once those things are thrown off balance, this can affect organisms such as, you know, coral reefs, for example, and some marine plankton. Some marine plankton have shells made out of calcium carbonate, and calcium carbonate dissolves in acidic conditions. And so we are looking at reefs that are you've heard of coral bleaching.
Right.
Coral bleaching is partly due to this ocean acidification I've been speaking of. And it just slows down the rate at which corals can grow, and it can harm marine plankton that have that sort of shell. It can literally dissolve pits into it or make shell production virtually impossible.
Now, am I to make the assumption that the more of the CO2 that we have in the air and the concentration in the air, the more acidification we're going to have in the oceans?
That's right. And that's right, exactly. So the more CO2 that we pump into our atmosphere, the more that the ocean will absorb, and the we'll see an increase in the acidity of the surface ocean. And going back to the marine plankton, I should point out that those little plankton are a vital food source for the entire marine food web, from whales to humans. So by affecting those tiny plankton that we don't think about too often can really have significant impacts on the whole food chain.
Okay. I'm talking with Toni Reel. She's the Southeastern Coastal Organizer for the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. We're talking about World Oceans Day. So if you're in the Midlands here, you're not going to go out and probably run down the beach to clean anything, because that would probably be counterproductive to drive your car down the beach to clean up the beach, wouldn't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So what is the more likely thing you would like people in the Midlands to do? I imagine it's a matter of the sustainable seafood, right?
Mm-hmm. But I think overarching, probably the best thing that someone who really cares about the ocean, something that they could do, is call their elected official to voice their concerns about what is facing the oceans in terms of these challenges such as ocean acidification. And also, we really need to regulate the amount of carbon dioxide that we release into the atmosphere. And right now in Congress, there is a bill being debated called the Waxman-Markey bill, and we would like to encourage folks to call up their elected officials to not just support that bill, but really to strengthen it. By our standards, it's kind of weak at the moment, but we really need to regulate carbon dioxide in order to protect our coasts from sea level rise and our oceans from acidification and a lot of other negative impacts of global warming.
Okay. Well, very, very good. World Oceans Day. Mark that on your calendar. June 8th, right? Every year?
That's right. Every year. June 8th.
Okay. What else is the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy up to these days?
Well, Frank, you might remember we put out a sea level rise video for Charleston last August, where you moderated a luncheon, which went extremely well. And so we are still working on sea level rise issues in the low country. We're working on educating the public on the negative impacts of sea level rise and also the real opportunities we have here in the low country to use homegrown energy resources to help prevent the worst case scenarios. You may have heard that the Department of Energy has given the South Carolina Energy Office a grant to work on offshore wind potential in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an exciting development, and Southern Alliance for Clean Energy will be working with the South Carolina Energy Office to hopefully get public acceptance of offshore wind in the future.
Oh, well, I think the public's accepting of it. We just got to get our utilities on board, don't we?
I'm sorry?
We just got to get our utilities on board.
But yes, that's very true.
Now, I mean, do you hear people saying, I don't want to look 3 miles out off the coast of Charleston and see a windmill?
Mm-hmm. I do hear that.
Do you really?
But, you know, technology is such that, you know, you won't. It won't be obtrusive.
They have better eyes than I do. 3 miles is a long way.
It is
out
a
there.
Very long way.
And if you see them, there'll be just little tiny things out there that you could think are maybe, you know, ships or something.
Right, and they'll be further out than that, and there are all kinds of models that they run to find the exact best place for these offshore wind turbines that aren't going to impact, you know, bird population, which is a lot. You know, people really worry about that, and they won't interrupt marine navigation, et cetera. So,
Yeah, I get probably worried more about the marine navigation. I don't want people to do, you know, bitten their ship right through the middle of this field of turbines. All right, Tony Real. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Frank. Always good.
I appreciate it. By the way, did I pronounce your last name correct?
It's Reale.
Like I said, Reale. What am I going to do with myself? Hey, are you not changing your name?
Nope, I'm keeping Reale.
Mm. All right, what do you have to say about that?
It's just a personal
choice. What did he have to say about that?
Oh, what did he have to say about it? Oh, he doesn't. He's totally supportive of whatever I do.
Okay. That was part of the deal.
Yes. If we have children, they will take his last.
All right. Very good. Tony Reale. Very good. The Southeastern Coastal Organizer for the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. It is World Oceans Day. Go out and celebrate. Take an ocean out to lunch or something. I don't know. Okay. Tony, I'll talk to you.
Or call your elected official.
Or call your elected official and tell them to do CO2 regulations so that we can stop the acidification of the oceans. How's that?
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
That.
I'll talk to you later.
Take care. Bye-bye.